This is quite a deep episode of Honesty Talk. We're going to be speaking about betrayal. Now, taking you back to season two, we spoke about heartbreak and reading the comments on YouTube and Facebook. I don't know, I found that a lot of people resonated with the topic and what we spoke about in that episode. We kind of want to get a bit more specific with this one. So, Layinka Sameh, we're talking about betrayal, the impact it has on an individual, how it can negatively impact their faith, their emotional, mental, spiritual well-being, and the journey of recovery from betrayal. So betrayal can take place between husband and wife, between friends, between parent and child, and we can look at it from different angles, but I really kind of want us to focus on how much impact it has on the heart and the soul. So what are your thoughts to begin with, Sameha?
I think the first thing I go to is defining, kind of, you know, laying the groundwork. I think betrayal is essentially a breach of trust in some way. And trust is such a critical, like, foundation of a relationship, whatever the relationship is. If you remove the trust from the equation or damage it in some way, then can the relationship continue? Will it ever be the same? Is it worth salvaging? Or is it just so fundamentally flawed now that it's just done?
Layinka?
What was the question?
So what are your thoughts on betrayal?
Betrayal is something that can really break someone. And some people feel like they can never ever recover because it's so heartbreaking. Especially in relationships where you have invested so much of yourself, especially emotionally, and for that trust to be breached, it lays the ground for beliefs such as, I can never love again, I can never trust again, I can never XYZ, or all of those kind of people, or all those are XYZ because of that experience. And it's one of those experiences that we don't talk about because there's so much that comes with it. And also when women, especially when women have been experienced betrayal, especially in their marriages and relationships, like romantic relationships, it often the woman turns to herself and thinks, how could I be such a fool? How could I allow this? What did I do? Why didn't I see the signs? Why didn't I see this? You know, and that, again, is just equally damaging. Because she's going through the heartache and the all of the things that come with the betrayal, and now she's also questioning herself in and amongst all of that. So yeah, it can be extremely damaging for someone.
Extremely, and I think it's a heavy topic. It's a heavy topic, and when I think about people that I know who have been betrayed by those that they place their trust with, that they've known for a long period of time, you know, either as a friend, you know, like decade, 2 decades plus, in a marital setting, and they've been betrayed. It's such a shock to the system. Especially when you maybe were a person who went the extra mile, sacrificed, loved selflessly, you know, placed that person almost on a pedestal in your heart and your mind, and did everything you could to make that person happy. And then they just go and do something that totally shatters that entire relationship. It's the effects of the shock on the soul and the heart is unimaginable unless you've been through it. And when I think back to, there is an incident in my life where I was betrayed badly. And this was by someone I trusted, someone I had a great deal of love for, someone I cared for deeply, and someone I felt safe and secure with. And I think that's the other thing, that when you are betrayed by someone who you feel a sense of security with, it's almost like your whole world falls apart. So when I think back to my own experience of being betrayed by this person, and I think about friends that I have, like good friends that I have that have also been betrayed, immediately you go into survival mode. You are on the floor. It's like one day, everything is fine. Life is normal, good. You know, you have your struggles, and then one decision, one choice, one act of a breaking of a sacred bond of trust, it turns your whole world upside down. And obviously we're women, and I'm thinking about female friends. Obviously women can break the trust of their men, but you know, talking about women being on the receiving end of betrayal, I'm thinking about sisters I know who have gone from living to now surviving. It eats into their salah. They can't sleep, or they're oversleeping. They become severely depressed. They're just completely falling apart. You know, there are obsessive thoughts about, you know, about the betrayal that took place. They can't seem to move away from it in their mind and their heart, and they just cannot move on. And I think it's really important for us to discuss this, because it happens a lot. Yeah. And women that are on the receiving end of it don't know what to do. I don't know if I'm making sense.
You are. I mean, I'm while you're talking, I'm thinking so many things.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh.
Here we go.
Yeah, no, but what you said about how it's like a massive milestone event. It marks your life before the event and after the event. And you can kind of go back and rehash your entire recollection of a time period. And now in the light of what you know, when you look back at it, you are reinterpreting, everything has a new place and a new meaning. And so was that real? Was it not real? What did that mean? Where was I then? And it becomes this whole thing. Your reality, as you thought you knew it, is taken away, is snatched away. And I think that's kind of a really... It's important to acknowledge that, because if you haven't experienced it, it's very easy to minimize it. Okay, you're having a tough time. Everybody goes through but in that position, your entire world, your reality, like the way you perceive everything that happens to you, needs redefinition, readjustment. And it takes a lot of energy and a lot of, it's consuming to have to hash through that. What you said about obsessive thoughts, worrying about what I mean to this person. Was this actually real, or was this entire thing some kind of shame? It's really consuming is the only word I can think of. It eats away. It eats away. So in that position where you're emotionally, physically worn down because of the emotional strain, where is the room now? Where do you have the bandwidth for anything besides survival? Yeah. Yes, your salah will be impacted. Yes, your family life will be impacted. Yes, your work will be impacted. Everything. Everything. Take the person's life and slam it into the ground, smash it to pieces. And now this reconstruction has to happen.
Yeah.
And this process has to happen. And it's formidable.
It's hard work. It's hard work to, like you said, to find yourself in a position where you felt whole, and then to find yourself, you can almost see yourself in pieces on the floor as a result of the betrayal, and you don't have the energy to collect those pieces and piece yourself back together. All you can do is ruminate over, this person betrayed me, this person lied to me, this person deceived me, this person did this, this person, and it's consuming and it's overwhelming. And then there's as women, then there's the guilt. That, you know, it's a story that you make up in your mind, but it's was I stupid? Was I blind? Did I not give enough? Did I not do enough? Did I? And you start to take on, you start to assume the responsibility of the deceit that took place, which actually you should never take ownership for. Because what that person did was a decision and a choice that they made. Mm-hmm. Now, regardless of the reasons behind that decision and that choice, they made a decision which broke your trust. Mm-hmm. And when you can differentiate between, and you can say that that was a decision that they took, mm-hmm. you can step back from it and you can say, you know what? I am hurt. I am wounded by this. Mm-hmm. I need recovery time. I need to look after myself. Mm-hmm. But if you confuse the narrative, and you start to take on the responsibility and the blame, oh my gosh, it's adding salt to the wound. Mm-mm,
mm-mm. It shouldn't. The danger is if the woman who's in that position doesn't have the right support, she doesn't have the right people speaking, you know, love into her and support into her, she will take it on as part of her identity. What about me as a person means that I deserve to be treated like this? What about me brought this on? Is this how it's always going to be for me? And just like you said, now I swear off relationships and I swear off opening up and I swear off trusting. And that's a dangerous path to go. You mentioned a point in your kind of opening statement where you said it's a single decision that's going to create this before and after. And in my mind, I just thought, it's not though, and it's not a single moment. In a moment, it came into your awareness.
Into your
you
life.
You now mm-hmm. know the truth, but it has a process that was going on, and you just now know about it. But this has been happening. You just weren't aware of it. And now it's like someone switched on the lights and everything just changes for you.
And you start to question everything.
You have to recalculate now and think, okay, this goes back how long? What's going on? And it's this whole thing. It's this whole thing. But in my heart of hearts, when I look at a woman in that position who's in the carnage, she herself has to be protected and rebuilt. And that identity and that, like you said, separating between a person deciding to do this to you and you deserving to be treated that way, or you being broken or flawed or damaged or something, because it doesn't, you don't need to take it on as it meaning something about you. It's just something they decided to do to you. Yes, and you're impacted, yes, but it shouldn't enter the realm of your identity.
And I think especially in the realm of marriage and betrayal in marriage, there is that narrative that if I had done more, if I had X, or if I hadn't X, then they wouldn't have Y. And it's what you said about assuming responsibility for someone else's choice, how dangerous that is, because that rumination will go on and on and on and on, and that person has gone off with their life and they're gone on with their life. And that's the hardest part. You're breaking, you're broken, you're smashing the ground, and that person is seemingly living their best life, completely oblivious to the damage that they've created, and also not taking responsibility for it most of the time, you know?
Coming up with excuses, reasons as to why they lied, as to why they deceived, as to why they betrayed your trust.
Very easily turning it back onto you, that it's because of da-da-da-da-da, that X, Y, Z. But actually, no, let's get real. You as a... let me not say that word. You as a human being made a decision to do something. And like you said, that decision has a run up to it, has a story, has a backstory. But you made this decision. Nothing that I could have done is deserving of you doing that to me.
Yeah.
And I think that is the key thing to remember. Nothing that I did is deserving of you doing that to me.
There is no overlap between your immoral action and myself. Yes. And it's important for women who have been betrayed to separate the two. That person's immoral action, that person's deceit, lie, betrayal, is separate from your being and your worth. I think when I think back to women who have been betrayed, they want to make sense of it. They desperately want to understand how this person could do such a thing to me. And what they do, and this is what I see time and time again with women that I've worked with friends, even thinking back to my own test, you know, with being betrayed, is that they want that person to somehow fix the situation, to come to them and say, no, it was because of A, B, and C, and I'm going to fix it. I'm sorry, and I'm going to turn it around. And they're desperate. They desperately want that person to miraculously take them to pre-betrayal. And the thing is, what I would say to any woman who is a victim of betrayal is that the longer you seek that from the person that's betrayed you, the longer you're going to remain in pain.
I want to talk a bit, because we do have a following of men, brothers who
watch. Are you bringing it now?
Right. And I want to speak to the fact that men do get betrayed, but they don't have the space to work through their emotions like women do. They don't get the support. They don't even get... It's that move on, find a new something, find a new whatever. Or for some men, they actually overlook what the woman has done for the sake of staying in the marriage, for the sake of the children, for the sake of that. And I think it's really important for us to be balanced in that. Betrayal happens from women too.
Absolutely.
You know, men are also a victim to betrayal from women, but it's not spoken out as much about because of masculinity, wanting to be strong, not wanting to seem weak, and also a very weak support system for men in those situations.
I think regardless of whether it's a man or a woman, it doesn't matter. Yeah. It's a case of two human beings who have a relationship with each other based on mutual trust, mm-hmm. and something being done that just completely shatters that trust. Mm-hmm. And then finding yourself thinking, okay, how do I move forward with this relationship? Do I end it? Do I remain? If I remain, how can I trust this person? You start to question everything. It's like what you said. It's everything just falls apart. There was a before, and now it's just what do I do with this? You know, how do I make sense of the carnage? But how do I also move forward? And I think it's really, it's so easy to just fixate upon the act mm-hmm. of betrayal. But actually, when you're a victim of betrayal, and I know that this is challenging and it's hard, but you need to now focus on yourself. You need to heal. You need to go inwards. You need to, you know, that person did what they did for the reasons that they did. And there is no excuse for a betrayal of trust, period. But what is important is that you, as you on the receiving end of betrayal, now do everything to stand again.
And that is, I think that's the key point. It's not the point of moving on.
No.
A lot of people focus on, men, women, focus on the act of moving on. I need to move on with my life. Because it's like we've said, it's not easy to sit in pain and to work through the pain and to work through the pain. That healing is vital. And this is beyond watching a few YouTube videos.
Yeah.
This is beyond reading a couple of books. Working through it with someone else, with a professional.
Absolutely.
So that you can really deal with those wounds. Because if you don't deal with those wounds are going to manifest again in whatever other, you know, somewhere else down in your life, mm-hmm. another relationship, another setting, whatever it may be. You think that, yeah, I'm okay, I'm good, I seem like I'm fixed, until you have one interaction with another human and you're like, holy smokes.
Yeah, there it is, hello.
It's the same wound that's being triggered. And to do that deep healing work that's necessary, because we're so quick to want to move on, mm-hmm. but without that, it can be catastrophic.
And and I'm so glad you raised this point, because the thing with betrayal is that it's traumatic.
Yes, it's trauma.
It is trauma. And what trauma does is all of your unconscious wounds mm-hmm. from childhood mm-hmm. rise to the surface. They're triggered. Mm-hmm. Okay? And so not only are you dealing with the trauma of the betrayal, but you are dealing with the repeat of trauma that has taken place either in your adult life previously that you've just kind of buried, or as a child, and then suddenly you find yourself dealing with post-traumatic stress.
And you don't even know what you're doing.
You become severely depressed, clinically depressed. You don't know what to do. Your whole world falls apart. And that's because these kind of core wounds have been triggered by this betrayal. And then people around you, I mean, because it's so unconscious, you're not even aware of it. People around you are like, you know, just move on, you know. It's not, you know, just get over it. Move on, you know, get some counseling. But actually, you need to now take care of yourself. You have to realize that this, yes, it was a turning point in your life, but it can also become a turning point in your life. And what I mean by that is that for you on the receiving end, you're thinking, my life is over, the before and after. But you know what, if you go deep, if you look at what has been triggered from childhood, from other traumatic experiences, and you heal that, it can become an incredible turning point for you.
And what you said in the beginning about how you put a person on a pedestal, and there's a lot in the run-up to this happening, in setting up the environment for this to happen, after the fact, in the rebuilding phase, it's an opportunity for you to look at how you can improve on those things.
Standards,
I didn't have boundaries
in
place. You know, I was giving beyond what is even healthy for me to give.
People
I was disregarding my own needs in the equation. These are things that have to be addressed so that in the next relationship, in the next experience, inshallah, you're able to come more whole and more healthy, and you're not putting yourself in that position where it's like, well, you know, there I was pouring out my soul and they threw me in the... We're not doing that again.
No.
So you come back now and get clear. And subhanAllah, a lot of the women that I've worked with who are going through this specifically will say the same thing. I was married for this long. I, you know, gave up my education, my career, my this. I sacrificed I, and then they. It's as if the things you put in to the relationship make you immune or entitled to being treated a certain way, like it's going to be this exchange. It's mm-hmm. it's an unspoken agreement. I'm going to sacrifice myself. I'm going to slack on my boundaries. I'm not going to ask for what I need. And in exchange, you're going to have my back and you're not going to hurt me. And then that person does. So what did that get you? So next time, we're going to ask for what we need. We're going to have our boundaries in place. We're going to show up correct. And if anything happens, then we're in a different position. Now the story of I threw myself under the bus and you ran me over is not going to wash because we're coming different this time. And I think that for some people, you know, it's hard to say this, but it's true. They would never have the spine and the willpower to stand up for themselves until they were run over.
Yes.
Wa alaikum salam. It's yes, true. Yes. It's unfortunate. And it seems yes. like this massive breaking. But I used to get the call. This happened to someone. And I used to think, you know, it's like you're going to come see someone at the site of an accident and they're bloody and they're in a, and you're just like, my heart, you know? But actually, now when it happens, I think she's going to come back and blow everyone out of the water. Like, this is something new is going to be born.
It's like that betrayal becomes a bridge. To something better, to someone version. Better.
Yeah. It makes me think of Qadr. Like Allah's will for you in allowing that to happen for the betterment of what's to come. Mm. You know? Because when you're in it as well, it's like, how could
this be good?
How could this... What is the wisdom? You know, people hear, oh yeah, there's wisdom in everything, there's khair in everything. You're in it and you're like, but where? But where? It's only after the fact. It's only after the healing and you look back, I can see. Mm. After your rising, I can see.
Yeah. We've got a few minutes left of this episode's panel. I feel like this needs a part two. I feel like we've just brushed on the topic, but I'd like us to focus on the suggestions we would give to sisters who are on the receiving end, who are, you know, currently kind of drowning and what we would advise them along that journey of recovery, of rebuilding themselves, of getting to know themselves again, of being able to come out of this better and whole. Sumaya.
I think of the questions that women repeatedly ask me, especially early on in the process. Number one, why and how could they do this to me? Number two, when is the pain going to stop? Number three, am I ever going to be okay again, normal again? And number four, I'm trying to understand the wisdom and why this is happening to me. And just like you said, I can't see how this could ever be serving me. And I would say to them that this is a process, and the very beginning is probably the worst part. It'll morph and change as it goes. I won't say it'll get easier, but it will change, and you will change.
Yeah.
And I think that it's important that you're willing to take this opportunity to find yourself and renew. Get the right support system around you. Find people who will help you. Because doing this on your own, trying to keep it in secret because of social reasons, it's overwhelming. And if you don't have the right support, you can lose yourself.
Yes.
So don't risk it.
Yeah.
There you go. I think for me, it's be kind to yourself in the journey. Because the beration will start, the guilt will start. And to remember that you aren't the one who brought it on yourself.
Yes.
Someone else brought it onto you. You didn't choose this for yourself. So be kind to yourself. Forgive yourself for the signs that you missed. Forgive yourself for the times that you let things slide. You know better now. Allow yourself to use this as a lesson to propel you to goodness.
Where do I start? I think first and foremost, to accept like any other difficulty, this is a test. It's a test from Allah. And when we know who our Lord is, Allah will only test you to bring out something very, very precious within you, to build you up for something different, something new. So I think framing the betrayal in that light, it just changes one's perspective. You will need to fall apart. You will need to fall apart. You will need to go through grief. You will need to cry. You will need to experience anger. You will need to go through 101 different emotions within 24 hours. And you need to allow yourself to simply feel what you need to feel. If you resist your emotions, you're going to be stuck in the aftermath of the betrayal longer. So it's very, very important for you to allow yourself to cry, to scream, to rant, to rave, to not be able to get out of bed at times, to, you know, to just allow the feelings to escape your body. Because if you resist, you're going to trap the trauma of the betrayal inside your body, which will have an effect on you spiritually, emotionally, physically, and that's going to halt your progress.
And the body keeps a score.
And the body keeps a score. Mm. The body keeps a score. I would also say you need to get help. You need to work with a professional. And the sooner you begin to work with a professional, the sooner you'll be able to identify red flags that you missed. You'll be able to identify core wounds, maybe from childhood, that are being triggered. There's just so much that will come from this, and that will aid you on your road to recovery. And just ask those, you know, your loved ones for help. You know, get people to cook for you when you can't, you know. Go out for walks, journal. You're not going to find the solution with the person that betrayed you. That's like, I cannot emphasize that enough. Though you want that person to fix it and to fix you, you are never going to heal as a result of the person that did you wrong. You need to now give yourself the love that you seek from the person that's no longer giving it to you, or that betrayed your love or betrayed your trust. You need to trust yourself. You need to ensure that you're not betraying yourself.
And that itself, in terms of trusting yourself, is a journey.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So, I mean, like I said, we could go on about this, but I really, really hope that this episode provides some type of guidance on your journey to heal. And we ask Allah to bring all those who are on the receiving end of betrayal healing, wholeness, and understanding. Ameen. So please share your thoughts and feelings about this very, very heavy topic in the comment section, and we very much look forward to speaking with you again in the next episode, inshallah.
Our messaging often is because she's often attached to someone else and she's never seen in her own individual right, her sense of self is never about herself.
It's so important, particularly for our daughters, as they then become wives and mothers.
Depending on the cultural background, there's a real stronger version to being selfish.
You learn these things for yourself. You don't learn it because you're going to become a mum. You're not learning to cook and clean and take care of yourself because you're going to be a mum and a wife, but because it's actually a life skill.
And maybe they did see their mom do that. Maybe culturally they're expected to do that.
It needs to be something that's kind of, you know, when you finish that call, it's like you're uplifted, you're energized, you're ready to roll, you know?
If they see you're relaxed and two Saturdays in a row you stayed there and you don't seem to be taking this me time thing seriously, they're just going to cut into your time.